Okay, we conducted a public hearing and took a tentative decision to adopt the hearings officer's recommendation, so now we're ready for a roll call for adoption.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
Well, thanks to everybody for their participation in this, especially the staff who did excellent work. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Hales.
Still a little nervously, aye. 1139.
Amend the comprehensive plan map designation and change zoning of property at 3607, 3617, 3623, and 3637 Northeast 14th Avenue at the request of Peter Cusick of Lead of Firenza Development, Inc., with Kevin Palmer and Don M. Meany.
Okay, second reading and roll call.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye. 1140.
Authorized application to the Federal Emergency Management Agency for a grant in the amount of $750,000 for fiscal year 2013 Assistance to Firefighters Grant Program to fund awareness and operations level structural collapse training.
Mr. Salzman.
Thank you, Mayor. This is a pretty straightforward grant request to the Federal Emergency Management Agency for structural collapse training for our firefighters. As we know, Portland is very susceptible to earthquakes, and this training will provide awareness and operational level proficiencies in structural collapse evaluation and rescue. If we're awarded this grant, all frontline firefighters will receive some level of training in this curriculum. We have Emergency Operations Chief Dwayne Bray here to answer any questions if council members have any.
Morning, Chief Bray. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, I have a question. Will we conduct this training at our own training center, or do we need a half-collapsed building somewhere in order to do this? I mean, how will we do this training?
Portland Fire and Rescue will, we have trained the trainers that will be able to conduct this, and it is at our training facility that we do. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was wondering if your daughter's coming home for Thanksgiving.
I'm going to pick her up today.
Good. Good.
Happy and healthy Thanksgiving to your whole family.
Thank you very much.
Other questions for Dwayne? Great. Well, thank you. Good luck with the grant application.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yep. Anyone signed up on this one?
And Crystal also signed up for this.
Great. She's still here? I don't think she's still in the room. Okay. Anyone else? All right. And that's an emergency ordinance, so let's take a roll call, please.
Novick.
I really appreciate Commissioner Saltzman taking the opportunity to apply for money to help us in this aspect of earthquake preparedness, and I'm glad the federal government actually provides some money for this purpose. Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Hales.
Yeah, there are decreasing numbers of places where the federal government is any help to us, but fortunately FEMA is one that still comes through occasionally, so thanks for seeking out every possible grant opportunity, just like we're doing for, you know, our emergency staffing request to the federal government. There are a few places where they can help us do our job and cover our costs. So thanks for seeking their help. Aye. Okay. We have those two items now that we pulled from consent.
1127.
1127 is the first.
1127, create a new non-represented classification of assistant transportation director, which is exempt from the classified service, and establish a compensation rate for this classification.
So someone pulled this. Joe, did you pull this? Did you want to speak on this? Come on up. We have staff here to explain it before or after, but...
Would you like me to go first?
I'm Kate Schmidt from the Human Resources Group Class Comp Unit, and I'm just here to answer any questions that may
okay.
come up.
Great, thanks. Go ahead, Joe. Good morning.
My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. I don't understand why this is an emergency. Only in Portland would you create a position and call it an emergency. I mean, you know, why don't you just do away with all the emergencies and just vote on things and get them done? Because if you look at the schedule week after week after week after, everything is an emergency in this city. And I think it's nonsense, just that point. The other point is you are creating another job out of an assistant director that gets $103,000, and you're going to up it to $148,000. It's almost a $50,000 raise. You had union employees in here not long ago begging you for less than 5%, I think. I may be wrong on that, but it ain't $50,000. So why are we doing that? And this is an assistant director's position. What in God's name is the director making? I remember not long ago, there were 600 people in Portland that made over $100,000 a year. And we brought that to your attention. Even some of the police were making over $100,000 a year with their overtime. You sit on this council, only make about $120,000. Maybe wrong on that. Is it less? Okay, then the mayor must be making about $120,000, and you guys make around $100,000. You don't make $100,000?
I haven't taken a COLA in 5 years, but I'm at 99.
99? Okay, cool. You got a position here that you're going to up it to $148,000, and it's an assistant director. Why in God's name would we do that? That doesn't make any sense. If you're looking for money to do things, do things. Don't spend all your money on this. This is nonsense. You're going to rubber stamp this anyway, and I'm working on it to get all of you a little rubber stamp. Because that's what you do. They ask, you give. But it's all money that you're messing around with. And sooner or later, people are going to figure it out. And some of you are running for re-election. And I'm telling you, people are getting a little irritated with the water rates. And when they hear about this kind of stuff, $50,000, they get pissed. Transportation, I think it's yours. Isn't that amazing? Mr. Novick.
Mr. Walsh.
Yes.
I hope you're being well paid by the Koch brothers and the Tea Party, because you're doing a great job for them. You know that it's hard to be hard to find a private sector organization with 700 people that didn't have a second in command making over $100,000. And you know there are real issues of equity and waste in terms of compensation in this country, with CEOs running corporations into the ground making hundreds of millions of dollars. But you think that it's your job to convince people in Portland that the real issue in terms of compensation in America is public servants, in your view, making too much money. I'm sure the Koch brothers and your friends at the Tea Party are very proud of you today, Mr. Walsh, very, very proud.
Well, I don't know the Koch brothers. I really don't. I know their history, and I know their background, and I'm Irish, so therefore there is no way I would associate with the Koch brothers because they're criminals, rich criminals, but criminals. As far as saying that individuals in the city should not make $150,000 a year as assistant director, yes. Put me on record for that one.
Okay, thanks. Any questions for staff on this? Okay. Roll call, please.
Novick.
Aye.
Aye.
Fritz. So do you want to address the issue that Mr. Walsh raised first in terms of emergency ordinances? According to the charter, there is either the regular ordinance, which takes 30 days to take effect, or the emergency. I think that's a problem in this day and age, because although I don't think there's going to be a collection of tens of thousands of signatures to put this particular item on the ballot, I think there should be an alternative. Yes, it can be done immediately that isn't labeled an emergency, because I agree that's somewhat incongruent. On the other hand, I don't think there's any reason to not do this right away.
I want to offer just one piece of context. When I had the honor of leading the Parks Bureau, we had a director and we had a position which was assistant to the director, but the assistant was not a deputy director. And what we learned with a very large organization that had a big reach is that for the director to be effective dealing with all the issues, including all the policy issues and the community outreach, we essentially needed what I'll call a COO. We needed a person who day-to-day oversaw kept the trains running on time for a very large organization. And we created a deputy director position, and we filled it with someone with a lot of experience. And it made a huge difference at Parks. And one of the things it did is it freed up the director to do a range of things that he was not able to do in essentially performing two functions. And so this idea of a deputy director who operates akin to a COO that then frees up the director to address all the demands of the job, but in particular frees up the time to engage the public more dynamically, I think makes this a very smart idea, Steve. And I hope that all of the larger infrastructure bureaus move to this, because I think it's not only good policy, but it has another dividend, which is not often given enough credit, which is it helps us with succession planning. And we are told on a regular basis we don't do a great job on succession planning in this city. And one way we do it is we have key leadership positions of people in training and in waiting who could, if necessary, move up the ladder. So I'm pleased to support this.
Aye. Saltzman.
Aye.
Hales.
Yeah, let me speak even more specifically to second the comments that Commissioner Fish made. I had a community group in my office yesterday who have a lot of transportation issues in their neighborhood, and they urgently want to discuss those with the leadership of the Bureau. And we have excellent community relations staff for the Transportation Bureau. They're here. They do a great job, but there are times when people really want to talk to the director, whether it's Parks or Transportation or the police chief or anybody else. And to the extent that the director is locked down managing the store, if you will, her ability in this case to get out and start building those relationships and solving problems at the neighborhood level is limited. And it puts into direct terms the point that you made, is that there's enough hours in the week for people working, say, 60 hours a week to do some amount of outreach to 90 neighborhoods or 100 neighborhoods and business districts as well in a city where there are only five elected officials. So these positions do play that pretty important role of providing in-house management skills that allow the director, whether it's Mike Abate at Parks or Leah Treat in transportation, to get out into the community and do problem solving. So on the other side of the ledger, we are conducting a span of control study to make sure that we don't have too many such expensive overhead positions. And that part of Mr. Walsh's point, I think, is legitimate. We need to be very wary of creating expensive management positions and make sure that we don't have too many of them. And that's why we're going to look carefully at every bureau in the city to make sure that that span of control between managers and workers is right. But in this case, it does make sense, and we should do it now. Aye. Okay. Item 1129.
Amend utility license law to adjust rate for water and sewer utility license fees.
Commissioner Fish.
Mayor, I pulled this because I thought it warranted a broader council discussion so that we have the full factual record before the council and before a vote. And also because, frankly, in reading some commentary in the press, there was so much inaccuracy about this that I thought, in fairness, we could help clean that up by inviting Mary Beth Henry and council to be here just to explain what we're doing, how this relates to Commissioner Saltzman's 2004 ordinance, and why the city believes this is good policy. And then I want to correct a couple of things that I've read and seen, which I think the public just needs to know what is factual and what isn't. And so Mary Beth is going to walk us through what's before us.
Okay. Mayor and Council, Mary Beth Henry. The utility license law assesses a tax rate upon the utilities operating in Portland, including the Bureau of Environmental Services and the Water Bureau. In 2004, the City Council amended the utility license law to limit the annual payments made by the Bureau of Environmental Services and the Portland Water Bureau. The purpose of the ordinance in 2004 was to reduce the annual water and sewer utility license fee payments from 7.5% to 5%. And in that ordinance, a cap was placed on the fees until such time as those fees reached 5% of gross revenues. We have now reached that point where the amount that the Bureau of Environmental Services and the Water Bureau pay is 5% of the gross revenues. And so this ordinance fulfills the original direction from 2004. What the ordinance does is provide transparency so that when you look at the code, it says 5% instead of 7.5%. And in fact, my office has received a couple calls over the last year inquiring about that. So really, we're really providing transparency and implementing the council's original intent today.
Mayor, if I could, I have a couple of questions, please, which I think I'll just illuminate some issues. Mary Beth, what is the principle that the city operates under in charging a utility license fee to a private utility? The charge is intended to cover what cost?
Well, for the utility license fee, it's really for the privilege of operating a utility in the city. And so any utility, whether it is public or private, would pay that 5% fee.
And is it fair to say that one of the connections here is that we give our public and private utilities the right, for example, to dig up our streets and lay you know, lines and other things, and that is in part what this is intended to capture?
Well, I think it's even broader than that. It's really just for the privilege of operating a utility in the city.
So the city's position historically has been we treat public and private utilities the same. Is that correct?
Yes.
And I just for the benefit of my colleagues, because I'm becoming a student of some of these questions for some reason, Mayor, I may have nothing to do with my current assignment. I looked at the charter of the city because I wanted to see where this comes from. And I want to just read something from Section 11-104 in our city charter. And it says, and I quote, "The council may impose charges it finds equitable upon the operation of the water system, for municipal services of other departments, bureaus, and offices, and may impose fees of the same character as for public utilities." So that has been interpreted as giving the city the authority to treat public and private utilities the same. It's charter-based, and I would just note that this is something that the voters in 1966 approved. So the people of Portland specifically gave us this authority to treat utilities the same. My understanding is in 2004, Commissioner Saltzman's ordinance was designed to address what was a perceived inequity of the public utilities paying at a higher rate than the private utilities. And he set forth a pathway to getting to 5% for all our utilities. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And what we are doing today is acknowledging that we've hit, the glide path has ended. We're now at parity, and we're just updating the code to reflect the code language to reflect that all the utilities are being charged at 5%.
That is exactly correct.
Now, Mayor, there's a good public policy debate out there at some point about whether we should be charging utility license fees and at what rate. And I would think at some point we may even want to frame that discussion, because I think it's good periodically to go back and say why we do it and how we treat people. And I, at some point, would like to engage that issue with you. But I also feel it's important for the public to know what's going on. So currently, do we have a guesstimate of how much is generated off the public utilities that goes to the general fund?
Well, between the utility license fees and the franchise fees, approximately $75 million for the general fund with all of those sources.
Right.
I don't have the specific figure, but I can get it for you for utility license fees.
And my understanding is the public utilities are about a quarter of that. Does that roughly sound right?
Yes, approximately.
Okay. So, Mayor, one of the things that got my attention is I saw a story in the paper yesterday, actually online, and it got me thinking, because we're going to have a debate going forward about this and a lot of other subjects relating to our utilities. And I'll just read you what I read. It's about the petitioner for the water district being quoted in a story and saying that the city had the legal right to charge this fee for public utilities, but that the charter amendments contained in the initiative don't touch the issue of utility license fees because, quote, "we thought that would be going too far and would spark more opposition." So the petitioner has said this is not addressed. Well, whether you support or oppose the initiative, we have to make sure there's clear facts in the public record. So I asked the city attorney to pull the statement that they prepared for the public, and it was presented to the court. And I just want to read you what they presented to an officer of the court. The measure that's been proposed would further change the existing charter language that addresses charging the utilities for municipal services or fees similar to public utilities. The measure would empower the district board, that's the governing board of the water district, to determine which charges the district would pay for municipal services rendered by the city or any fees of the same character as for public utilities. And the way that is accomplished is that the proposal suggests that Section 11-104 be amended to say that the council may impose charges, quote, upon the affirmative vote of the district board. So while the petitioner has said, apparently to a reporter, that this petition and the proposed district would not change the current law, what I wanted my colleagues to be aware is that the specific language in this petition would change it quite dramatically, because it would make any of the fees that the charter allows us to charge our public utilities to be subject to an affirmative vote of the district board. And I'm just guessing that a separate entity might choose to vote not to have certain taxes, fees, and levies applied to it if the charter allows them to do so. So I thought it was a little misleading to say that there's nothing in here that changes this subject. And because this is before us in honoring a promise that Dan made in 2004 that's come to fruition, I thought it was important to note that according to our attorneys and according to my reading of the charter, this would in fact alter our authority to continue to treat public and private utilities the same and to apply a utility license fee, and would make the continuation of this charge, which the council has historically thought was equitable, as authorized by the charter, subject to a vote of this new district board. And I think that's something the public should know, and I think it's regrettable that the story contains a misinformation about this matter.
Oh, thank you. Very helpful information. Appreciate that. Other questions for Mary Beth? Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Take care. Is there anyone signed up to testify on this item?
I didn't have a sign-up sheet out.
Okay.
There.
Okay, come on up. Charles, good morning.
Good morning, Charlie. Good morning, counselors. Mr. Fish has touched on a general issue, which is a little bit more specific in scope than just whether a new public utilities district could vote to be tax exempt or fee exempt. If we just consider this as a matter of public policy, we're currently charging people through their water bill. Water is, from a biological perspective, more important than telephone service. So the city actually should consider opening a public dialogue about changing this revenue stream. I would appreciate if you could just take a second. These monies that are collected, which are about $12 million and $4 million respectively, they go into the general fund or are they specific purpose?
No, they go to the general fund, right.
So I think that's somewhat of an equity issue as far as regressiveness and stuff, that the city should get into conversation, especially with this potential that a public utility district may be able to actually exempt itself from this $12 million factor. But also, if you just look at the big picture, I think people will say that there's an equity issue of fairness if people have built into their water bill a 5% tax, the same as they have a 5% tax on their CenturyLink bill. Those are two different things. Having telephone service and DSL, while important to modern society, is not, people don't go around saying yet that broadband is a human right, but they do go around saying water is a human right. So just may not be this.
Can I just comment?
Yes, please.
I appreciate your thoughtful comment. The concern that I had as I read the news story was that the quote did not seem to be accurate. So first I wanted just people, my colleagues, to understand that there is a proposed charter change in this. And second, if there were to be an independent utility district, I'm not clear as to why we would treat that utility any different than a private utility. For purposes of public policy, we can have that debate at council, but as proposed, we wouldn't have a say. It would be the board of this new entity would decide whether they were subject to our fees and charges, and I just think people should know that when they deliberate on this issue.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish. I think we are both deeply concerned about some of the transparency and implications of this proposed utility district. So on that, we're in the same page, that it may not be as good an idea as it's being presented to be. And that concludes my comments. Thank you all.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thanks. Good morning.
My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice, and I left the Koch brothers outside. They're listening. I would just second the transparency part of this whole process. I think, Commissioner Fish, you were asked for a comment, and you refused to comment on the article.
No, that's actually not true.
All right, what?
If you read the story online, there's an extensive comment.
Okay, but at one point, you were asked for a comment, and you refused to comment.
That's not true, Joe. I was never asked for a comment. That's why the reporter...
All right, so you're saying the reporter is inaccurate.
And that's why he corrected his story by including my comment.
Okay.
If you go online right now, you'll see a full comment from me, and that was just confusing.
But you can appreciate the public, when they read that kind of stuff, they question the transparency of this body. And this body has a terrible problem with the transparency. You know, it's like me playing basketball. You know, it's a problem. You guys have to work harder. So when you're asked for a comment and you either hesitate or they say you didn't comment, I think you should react immediately.
I did, Joe, because I was not asked for a comment. And as soon as I saw the story, I called the reporter and gave a comment. He corrected the story, and that's what appears online.
Well, we can't.
The story has not been published. It has only appeared on the Internet.
Okay. My question in this whole thing, in the transparency part of it, is this. Is this going to raise the rates of the public?
No.
Yes or no?
No.
Okay, that was one thing that was not clear. You could read the article, you could read this, and you came away with, what the hell are they talking about?
Well,
so,
one thing this council can't control is the quality control of local reporting. So, you know.
Well, no, I'm not talking about the newspaper. I'm talking about you guys. This here. When you read this and you read the background on this, and then you go and you try to bring up the information, you're going to get the newspaper. You're going to include that. But you guys didn't do your job on this because nobody understood what this was.
That's why, Joe, I moved it from the consent. I didn't place it on the calendar.
I took it off, not you.
Actually, he did.
No, I actually did, Joe.
Well, then they never notified me because I took two items off the calendar.
So yesterday, I asked that this be removed because this, it was not my item, and I felt there was enough confusion. We should have a full council discussion.
Okay, well, I'm pushing you a little bit harder.
Okay,
this is not the place to have this discussion. You guys need to have a public discussion on this water thing because you're going to lose this damn water department. And you're right, Novick. I'm a little bit worried about who's in back of this. But I'm telling you right now, you've done such a lousy job on the water department, you deserve to lose it. You really do. Except the people that are probably going to control it are worse than you. And that's really scary. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Morning. Mark J. Hoffines, Jr. with UCARE. Hey.
Who, sir?
Mark J. Hoffines, Jr. with UCARE. So I just want to touch on a few things, and it's pretty basic. I think it's kind of redundant that we have a house that's actually a pump station that can't even house anybody when we can't even house homeless. But on top of that, if it does go to where they are tax exempt, I do believe that the rates better go down. You know what I mean? Because if they're already if they don't have to pay taxes on that which they're doing, then there's no reason for the rates to even stay where they're at. Because
there's nothing in the initiative that addresses whether rates go up or down.
I know, but
there's nothing that prevents.
And that's why I'm stating my public opinion.
I'm just saying, there's nothing that prevents a new board from raising your rates or lowering your rates. It's agnostic as to rates.
Then we definitely need a public
discussion.
Regardless
of what you hear from petitioners and people asking for your signature, there's not a single word in this document which addresses whether rates will go up or down.
And I have very little or very limited information on this subject because, like he said, there's not really much there. But so here's the thing: is we do need a public discussion about it and try to figure out more about it and get some more in-depth details as to what's going to happen and what's for, et cetera, and more explanation in depth. Otherwise, we're all going in this blindly, and that's not okay, especially the public.
I think you got total agreement with this council about that.
Okay.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you, sir.
Aye.
Thanks.
Do you know if the auditor or yourselves are featuring links to the initiative so people can find that more easily?
I don't believe we get to do that.
I'm not sure we're allowed to do that.
Yeah, we as individual elected officials can comment on a political matter that's in front of the voters, but we can't use city resources or staff time. So we can't put arguments about a petition.
I wasn't concerned about it. I thought just maybe on Auditor Levon's page it could be featured.
Not
since
sure
there's only
she's
like two
even
or three.
Free to do that. Yeah. City attorney might know.
Mr. Mayor, the item is linked on the elections officers page.
That's where it is.
On the auditor's page.
There is a, since you mentioned the auditor, there is a specific provision which would change our charter and divest the auditor of any authority to audit the books and records of this new body. It's a specific carve-out, and I don't know anyone personally who feels the auditor has not been aggressive enough in doing public oversight. So
it's
one of the puzzles that I think we also ought to discuss is why would the auditor no longer be able to have oversight of this new entity, and why would you put that in as a charter change?
Thank you all.
Thanks very much. Okay, this is an emergency item. Roll call, please.
It's not an emergency.
Non-emergency.
Where I've lost my agenda, sorry.
11.
There's no asterisk. Okay, it passes to second reading. There it is. Okay.
Could I make some comments?
Sure, please.
Since we're not going to be voting? Because I think this is an important discussion, and I appreciate Commissioner Fish for pulling it because it wasn't particularly clear, although the link to the ordinance and the ordinance language I thought was clear. It's good to have this discussion, and indeed, after the holidays, we will be having a lot of public discussions in the community about the proposed changes to the charter. The fees are important for our general fund, and much of the general fund goes to police and fire. It's essential that our essential services like water and sewer are protected from acts of violence, and that our firefighters have water to put fires out. And so it's, you know, our city government, and we're engaging on the next budget process, it's about half property taxes, and then the rest is half business license fees and utility license fees. So I know Mr. Hofheims is very concerned about housing services and providing for people who live outside. These fees do that. And we hear a lot about how we have a two-legged stool in Oregon and that we only have income taxes and property taxes. We don't have a sales tax. This, in some ways, can be looked at, as Mary Beth pointed out. It's the privilege of operating a license franchise in the city of Portland. And I think it's absolutely fair that every franchise be treated the same. And that's what this ordinance enacts, following on from what the government said it would do in 2004. The government's doing what it said it would do and doing it in an open, transparent manner. That's what we try to do all the time here. So I very much support this ordinance, and I'll be happy to vote aye on it next
week. Will my colleague yield for a second?
Sure.
And Commissioner Fritz, I'm very pleased that you framed it around public safety because, again, having read the news story where petitioner said there was no impact on this particular issue through the change, and having worked through the charter and to find that, in fact, there's a significant potential change, one which a future board may very likely decide they want to opt out of any fees that we may impose, and for which we would have no role, that could, in the midst of a future budget cycle, blow a $20 million hole in our budget, precisely around public services like public safety. And I think whether you support that or not, I think we ought to be honest about what's at stake. And so I was concerned when the petitioner was quoted as saying that this is not something in the particular charter change which he has drafted and presented to the voters. I was concerned that that was significant misinformation needed to be corrected. And the public will make its own judgment as to whether it's fair to treat public and private utilities the same, whether Commissioner Saltzman's approach, which was to cap the rate for our public utilities, was equitable, and furthermore, whether this is an income stream for the general fund, which is either completely unusual or consistent with what lots of other jurisdictions around the country do. So let's have that debate, but let's not mislead people into thinking it's not embedded in this debate because it has been framed.
Good points all. Thank you very much. And we are adjourned until next week. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.